ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीर् उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्णा। वेलकम टू ऑल ऑफ यू ऑन दिस ऑस्पिशियस संडे ऑफ कार्तिक मंथ दामोदर मास। थैंक यू वेरी मच फॉर कमिंग। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवत कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 14। लॉर्ड कृष्णा एक्सप्लेन्स द योगा सिस्टम। टेक्स्ट नंबर 9। मन माया मोहिता धियः पुरुषाः पुरुषर्षभा श्रेयो वदन्ति अनेकांतं यथा कर्म यथा रुचि। मन्मया माहित मन्मया मोहित धियः पुरुषाः पुरुषर्षभा श्रेयो वदन्ति अनेकांतं यथा कर्म यथा रुचि। मन्माया मोहित धियः पुरुषाः पुरुषर्षभ श्रेयो वदन्ति अनेकांतं यथा कर्म यथा रुचि। Ladies, मत माया by my illusory potency. Mohita, bewildered. Diyaha, those whose intelligence. Purushaha, people. Purushar Shabha, O best among men. Shreyaha, what is good for people. Vadanti, they speak. Anek Anantam, in innumerable ways. Yatha Karma, according to their own activities. Yatha Ruchi, according to what pleases them. Translation: O best among men, the intelligence of human beings is bewildered by my illusory potency, and thus, according to their own activities and whims, they speak in innumerable ways to actually, they speak in innumerable ways about what is actually good for people. Purport: unlike the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the individual living entity is not omniscient, that means full of knowledge. Therefore, his activities and pleasures do not represent the whole truth. According to one's individual way of doing things, yatha karma, and one's personal preference, yatha ruchi, one speaks to others about what is good for them. Everyone thinks what is good for me is good for everyone. Actually, the best thing for everyone is to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, and thus realize one's eternal nature of bliss and knowledge. Without knowledge of the absolute truth, many so-called learned people are whimsically advising other whimsical people who also lack perfect knowledge of the actual goal of life. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupak Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Hare Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna.
You can put this fan off, please.
So, O best among men, the intelligence of human beings is bewildered by my illusory potency, and thus, according to their own activities and whims, They speak in innumerable ways about what is actually good for people. When the living entity falls down from the spiritual world, many things happen. It is the most unfortunate moment of our existence that we left the spiritual world. As soon as the living entity falls down in the material world, he or she achieves a gross body and subtle body. 5 senses of knowledge and 5 senses of action are incorporated in that by the manipulation and combination of 5 elements, Pancha Mahabhut. Ears, eyes, nose, skin and tongue in the group of Indriyas for knowledge, Jnana Indriyas, and hands, legs, belly, Kantha and Janani Indriya, genitals, in the group of 5 senses of actions. They cover the soul on fall down. Then they receive subtle body of mind, intelligence and ego. And the ego in this situation of fallen down from spiritual world is only one thing, just to enjoy separate from the Lord, not in accordance with the Lord, independent of the Lord, for personal sense gratification, looking for everything in the universe, in the creation, for my happiness. That is the whole crux of the matter here, the essence of our existence. And then, as per the body that we have received in the world, immediately 3 modes of material nature and 3 kinds of miseries are inflicted upon us. Sattva guna, rajaguna, tamoguna, and adhyatmik, adhibhautik and adhidaivik miseries. No one is free from that. Apparently somebody may be in the position of controlling the whole world, or leading the country of the whole world, who leads the world. Still, 3 kinds of miseries are not, he is not saved from 3 kinds of miseries. And inevitably, the activities of all of us, or the person who has fallen down from the spiritual world, is under influence of the 3 modes of material nature. Either is acting under the mode of goodness, or sometimes passion, sometimes ignorance, sometimes combination of any of the 3 things, or all 3 together. Very manashashtyani indriyani prakritishtani karshati. That means, while acting under the influence of the 3 modes of material nature, at the very time he thinks, I am the controller. But is driven by the 3 modes of material nature. And in these situations, when he is thinking he is a controller, he is thinking he is independent, and he is acting still under the full control of the 3 modes of material nature and the 5 senses and the mind, his intelligence gets bewildered because of the contamination of the self by desire to enjoy separately. And in that bewilderment, one thinks from his own point of view and makes his own philosophy with that bewildered intelligence. Today it is very common, you don't have to become a muni to have your own philosophy. Everybody in the train, in the office, they will say, this is my philosophy. This is what I think. This is what I believe in. This is what I live with. You don't have to have following also. You are your own following. Everybody, even a carpenter, even a mason, even everybody has his own philosophy. Just simply symptom of the bewildered intelligence. And how it is? Whatever work one does, one develops philosophy accordingly. And whatever one likes or prefers or enjoys, that is the ideal way of life. If I enjoy this way, this is the way of enjoyment. Yatha karma, yatha ruchi. And unfortunately, whole the world today is run by such bewildered people. Unfortunately, we are the victims of the control, the rules and regulations, the laws made by such bewildered people. With this bewildered intelligence, people think, he is my friend and he is my enemy. What it reminds us? Shanda and Amarka. They were teaching Prahlad how to identify an enemy and how to identify a friend. But Prahlad denied to accept such philosophy. That is because his intelligence was not bewildered. And Shanda Amarka's intelligence was bewildered by the influence of Hiranyakashipu, who was guiding them to train the students in the Gurukul. And all this, he is my friend, he is my enemy, is based on keeping the self in the center and the self-interest in the center. There is nothing else but self. Selfishness is in the center. That's why such kind of thought process takes place. Then, with such bewildered intelligence, what happens? People are creating atom bombs, and neutron bombs, and electron bombs, and so many missiles, and so many highly technological items, where one can destroy another at thousands of miles away from your position. Everybody is pointing their missiles to each other, all over the world. If they desire, with their bewildered intelligence, they can destroy the whole world within few seconds actually. This is the result of all this independent living, desire to sense gratification, desire to act whimsically, desire to act for the self-interest, desire to differentiate us from others, keeping ourselves in the center. This results in these destructive activities like creating bombs. And not only it is destructive to others, but to the self also. That is Atma Klesh, Adhyatmic miseries that we go through. And then, along with creating means for our destruction, they also happily create their own philosophical path for so-called welfare of everybody else. America has their own path of welfare. They feel this is the path of welfare, and everybody in the world must surrender to this path. Otherwise, we'll penalize you. This is another symptom of bewildered intelligence. And this degree of bewilderment, very interestingly we should note, the degree of this bewilderment is directly proportional to the lust that we have. The desire, the intensity that we have to enjoy the world, to that degree we are more or less bewildered. There are so many examples. We have Ravan, very highly intelligent, highly born in a Brahminical family, in the dynasty of sages like Pulatsa Muni, Pulaha Muni, his uncle, father Pulatsa Muni, and so many great souls, but completely inflected by lust, which means not only women, but everything that is beautiful in the world, enjoyable in the world, should be enjoyed by me only. I am the sole proprietor of all those objects of enjoyment. So may it be Rambha, may it be Vedavati, may it be Sita, may it be anybody. It has to be mine. And what did he do? With that intelligence, he devised a plan. How to kidnap Sita. Looks very intelligent plan. But intelligent plan, inflicted by the bewildered intelligence because of lust, leading to self-destruction and the destruction of whole dynasty in the end. In the beginning, it's very highly intelligent plan. And there are so many more examples. We have many, many examples of Indra, who's constantly worried about what's happening on the earth, because he's too attached to his position and influence and power that he has. And anybody does tapasya on earth, he's simply bewildered, confused, enamored by the desire to suppress them. So he sends Menaka, he sends Ramba, he sends so many people to distract them, to disturb them. Some people succumb, some people don't succumb. But it's a constant effort going on. You are in the heavens, the king of heavens. All the facilities are for you. But still one is worried. It may be taken away from me. I may lose it. Then what will happen to me? Like some people ask Prabhupada, when Prabhupada told you how to give up meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication, gambling. So they said, then what do I do then? What is remaining for me to do? So like that, when the kingdom of heavenly planet will go away from me, what do I do? What is left in my life? And that is pushing to do so many things which are illegal or illegitimate, illogical also. So, in the whole material existence, this is what is happening with all of us to more or less degree. To the degree we are surrendered to the Lord and His devotees and their instructions, to that degree our bewilderment goes on decreasing. And to the degree we deny obedience to the rules and regulations given by the Lord, we get more and more bewildered, even in the name of being devotee. We have to understand this is a very subtle science. When we are bewildered, when we are clear, very difficult. So that's why we require constant company of devotees. Will time and again tell us, no Prabhu, not this way. Yes Prabhu, this way. Yes Mataji, Prabhuji, this way. Don't do this, this is not good. And if we have faith and we obey them, then the layers of bewilderment will be taken off. Cheto darpana marjanam. So how to purify this bewildered intelligence? If you read Krishna book, and when Prabhupada is describing the appearance of Krishna, in that he is describing in Krishna book very beautifully how to purify various things. So in that he writes, intelligence can be purified by accepting divine knowledge with faith. When Mahatma Gandhi said, Mohandas Karamchand Gandhi, that I bathe my intelligence daily with the verses of Bhagavad Gita. Now why you require to bathe intelligence? Because it's dirty. Definitely. Why we bathe every day? Because we become dirty. Very logical, very simple to understand. So Mahatma Gandhi is humbly accepting that the intelligence is contaminated. And we need to clean it every day. Because every day the three modes of material nature are pushing you to act in a particular way, pushing you in one direction. So daily contamination, daily purification. When daily contamination is decreased compared to daily purification, then purification prevails and we get more and more pure. If daily contamination is higher than the process of purification, then impurity prevails. Our life is going in another direction. You can see, even in the life of Brahma, such a elevated personality, the first citizen of the whole universe, the first one to be bestowed upon with highest of intelligence, divided in four brains, watching four directions of the universe. It's not an ordinary personality. In those four brains, complete standard operating procedures are there for the whole universe, for the floating planetary systems, for all the kinds of living entities. But when he is born, even with all that infrastructure of intelligence, he is born in darkness. And what is the darkness? That is darkness of ignorance. So with all that most superfine of all intelligence, he is still bewildered because he doesn't know what to do. And how that problem is solved? Very significant to note. Tene Brahma Rudaya Adi Kavaye Muhyanti Yat Suraya. The first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that when Brahma was thus bewildered, Sri Krishna had to infuse knowledge in his heart directly. Like when there is hypoglycemia, very, very low sugar, we give high concentrated sugar intravenously, straight in the blood. And immediately the unconscious man becomes conscious. Like that, instant infusion of divine knowledge was given in a very compact manner in the heart of Brahma. which led to immediate realization. There was no processing of the knowledge. There's no activity based on the knowledge. Immediately that knowledge by the mercy of the Lord was converted into realization. And then what is the difference after that? Brahmaji came to know every single thing that needs to be known and that needs to be realized. And see, the first thing he did with the first day of his services, he started performing tapasya. And he performed that tapasya for 60,000 years in a very austere way. And what was the aim of the tapasya? Right before he began his services to Krishna, which is in the mode of passion, in the form of creation. What is the purpose of tapasya? To receive the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna, the cowherd boys and the cowherd girls and the Brijvasis. Because when he got that knowledge infused in his heart, what he realized, that the ultimate goal of life is to receive the mercy of these great devotees of the Lord. And the way of receiving that mercy is to attain the dust of the lotus feet. In a very casual way, not in a forceful way also. So he performed 60,000 long years of tapasya. And there was no response. So he started his services. And 17,28,000 years is Satyayuga. The last 60,000 years, again he performed tapasya. With the same purpose, which is not fulfilled in the beginning. The same purpose, more intensely, to achieve the lotus feet of Radha, Krishna and Gopis and Gwalvals. And at the end of 120,000 years of tapasya, Sri Krishna gave darshan to him and asked him, what do you want? And he said, I want to achieve dust of a lotus feet. So Krishna said, Vrishabhanu Puram Gatva, please go to Barsana and become a stone there. There are only two tapasyas in the whole creation till now, which has been performed, which have been performed for demotion, not for promotion. Usually, why we do tapasya? So from a lower level, we want to go to a higher level. In a better position, we want to be. We give up television and going on the seashore and walking and doing time pass so that we study hard and we get admission in professional college. So always a higher aim is in mind. And here, Lord Brahma is in the highest position one can achieve. And he is doing tapasya for such a long time to become a stone, which is inert. No movement and nothing. So, the intelligence when it is purified, this is the result. The instant realization that I need to achieve the dust from the lotus feet of pure devotees of the Lord. And the Lord himself, of course. So we can see, as soon as we cultivate knowledge, this divine knowledge, transcendental knowledge, once intelligence gets purified, and immediately the mind and actions also get purified. You act in the best possible way, which is according to the welfare of the soul, the real welfare of the soul, not the whimsical, illusory welfare of the soul. One understands the difference between karma, vikarma and akarma. This is the sign of the purified intelligence. We know what is our duty. We know what is to be avoided. What kind of activities should not be performed by us. And we also understand how to perform activity to only please the Lord and His devotees and do not get inflicted by the bondage of the fruits of action. This is intelligence. This is called true intelligence. And this intelligence is given to every human being. We choose to contaminate it with lusty desires or desires for sense gratification, or we choose to become a devotee and receive this purified intelligence. So this is Brahma's journey from position of Brahma to a mountain. And thus he has become the Brahmachal in Barsana. Constantly taking the dust of everybody on his head. And not only that mechanical activity of taking the dust, but he is also melting in ecstasy when he is receiving the dust of the gopis and Krishna and Radharani on his head. Without knowledge, Even greatest intelligence can be bewildered. So it is not important that we have higher intelligence or higher IQ. Because without proper knowledge, higher IQ means higher bewilderment. Because you see these terrorist people, they are highly intelligent people. Sometimes they are much ahead of the world's advancements. But because of the impurity, they are destructive in even in the proportionate way, higher way. So higher IQ, higher bewilderment. Now with this discussion about intelligence, which is extremely important because intelligence is guiding the mind. And mind is guiding the senses. Senses do activities. Activities create fruit. And the fruit binds us, which is actually the cause of repeated cycle of birth and death. When intelligence is purified, the mind does activity which are in the welfare of the soul through the senses, and the fruit is not binding you and us, and thus we get liberated from the bondage of fruits and the cycle of birth and death and go back to Godhead. So intelligence is very important, very key part. Intelligence is guided by us when we decide to live independently of the Lord or decide to be under the obedience of the laws of the Lord. With this we go to now Uddhav, the great Uddhavji Maharaj. Such a magnanimous personality. And if you talk about intelligence, he was having such super fine intelligence. He was a disciple of Brihaspati. He had received all that knowledge from the best of teachers in the whole universe. Like Vishwadev is a disciple of Brihaspati. He was in that class, that category of people. He was cousin of Krishna. He even looked like Krishna. He had blue color. That is why when Krishna sent him to Vrindavan, he gave him his mukut. He gave him his chariot. Dressed him like him and sent him to Vrindavan. Because there was such resemblance between him and Uddhav. Uddhav was very close friend to Krishna. Uddhav was also in official way minister, advisor to Krishna in the assembly of Dwarka, in management. He ate with Krishna, he dined with Krishna, he slept with Krishna, he joked with Krishna, he went with him everywhere, wherever he went. He was always with Krishna. So much love also he had for Krishna. In one sense, there was nothing more to be achieved for him. He was so close with Krishna. Even he would see what is next to achieve now. I have already achieved the highest position. But still, this was the part of his Aishwarya Buddhi. What is Aishwarya Buddhi? I mean understanding of the Aishwarya aspect of the Lord. He had the full understanding of the Lord's opulence, Lord's position. He had love for the Lord also, with full cognizance. He was not an ordinary soul, he was an extraordinary soul. But still Lord knew, even though everything is achieved and nothing more to achieve, there is still much more to achieve. Like in our hospice, you know. When the doctors say, the general medical doctors say that, okay, the patient is too serious and nothing we can do, please take him home and pray to the Lord. And that is the time the hospice takes over and there is lot and lot to do from that point on till the point of death. So when the Aishwarya Buddhi achieves its ultimate results, from there, the beginning of Madhurya Buddhi starts. If one is ready to relinquish that Aishwarya understanding of the intelligence. And Madhurya Buddhi is superlative to Aishwarya Buddhi. So today we'll discuss about this. So Krishna sent him to the University of Advanced Love, which happened to be in Vrindavan. Which even people did not even know that exists. Even Uddhav is such a highest of intelligence personality, disciple of Brihaspati. Didn't know that what is this being sent for in Vrindavan. With all his intelligence and realizations and practices that he was a very, very advanced soul, very sincere soul, no contamination of sin or desire to enjoy independently, he was a surrendered soul to the Krishna. So when he was told that this is a letter, please go to Vrindavan and deliver it to all the Brijvasis, to Nanda Baba, Yashoda, to coward boys, my friends, to gopis. So he knew that the situation is like this, that they are totally in separation, they are in crying condition, they are beating their chest, they are not eating anything, they are simply crying, crying and crying. Sometimes they become like pictures. Nothing moves except the tears on the eyes. Rest everything is standstill. Chitrapat. Stabdata. Stambhavikar. Very, in one sense, very pathetic condition externally. Internally very blissful. But externally very pathetic to those who see them in this condition. So all the orientation was given before the job description was given. And he, because he was very highly intelligent, he also made a plan. This is how I will tackle the situation and fulfill the desire of my Lord for which he is sending me there. He had all knowledge. He had knowledge of all kinds of yogas. He knew where to apply that variety of knowledge, in which cases to apply. He knew everything. So he devised a plan that I will teach yoga to gopis. And I will pacify them. Because one who is too much in sorrow, when he does pranayam, elongates his breath, he gets control over his emotions. And we can expect that person to become peaceful and deal with situations in a balanced way, rather than getting swayed by the waves of unbelievable, uncontrollable emotions. Even when we do yoga also, we study these things in a philosophical manner. In the yoga books, this is mentioned. It gives controlled mind, pacified mind, with which you can think about the goal of life. First come to level of tranquility. So he thought, I will teach them Ashtanga Yoga, because they need tranquility now, for which I am being sent. And he entered Vrindavan. And the first thing he saw, that the gopis were performing yoga. The first very darshan was, at the banks of Jamuna, all the gopis are sitting like this. Closed eyes. So he felt, good, they already have some orientation of yoga. So my training will be much easier. I don't have to teach them ABC. So he went to them and asked, so what are you meditating on? He said, we are not meditating on anything. They said. First, googly answer. So what are you doing? He's sitting in this lotus posture. He said, we are trying to forget that we are remembering always. We are trying to take that Krishna out of our heart, who has gone inside so much inside. They explained to him that our heart was very simple and straightforward. But that heart fell in love with Krishna and he is crooked. So to adjust him in our heart became crooked. And now he has left us. And now we are struggling to take him out of the heart. That is what we are trying to do in our yoga. So immediately Uddhav understood that this kind of yoga I didn't learn. I only learned yoga where the Krishna who is not being remembered by us, we don't remember him regularly, with great efforts and yam and niyam and asana and pranayam and dhyan, dharana, pratyahar, samadhi, with these processes we try to put ourselves in one place in concentration and bring Sri Krishna into our meditation. And he comes and goes and comes and goes and comes and goes. He slips away and we again try to bring him, again try to bring our mind, preach our mind. This kind of processes I have learned in detail, but I have not learned the reverse process. So in our cricket language we say he was there only stumped. There only. So first statement, first entry, first interaction, first confrontation itself, he failed. He lost his confidence. And he was bewildered. Now what is happening? His Aishwarya Buddhi is getting bewildered. He has come with full intelligence, which is aligned with Krishna. But now itself is getting bewildered. Whose job is that? The previous job of bewildering a contaminated intelligence is job of Mahamaya. The external energy of the Lord, which bewilders everybody and keeps them trapped under her three modes of material nature and beats them with three vidhitap. And this is Yogamaya, the internal potency of the Lord. As soon as one enters Vrindavan, Krishna is going to start bewildering the Aishwarya Buddhi of devotee. what he does when he gives anybody entrance in Vrindavan. He takes away the knowledge, Aishwarya Gyan of Krishna, that he is Supreme Lord, he is all powerful, he is full of six opulences, he is the creator, he is the universe maintainer, he is the destroyer, he has 64 gunas in unlimited quantity, and he is all knower and all doer, everything, he is the doer of everything, all that knowledge Krishna steals. So this bewilderment is beginning. This is the beginning of Uddhava's journey from Aishwarya Buddhi to Madhurya Buddhi. And then he went ahead. When he went ahead, he wanted to meet Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. And he asked the address, where they stay. So Brijvasis told that, you see these two rivers? You go by their side. They are coming from the mountain. You go by their side and you will reach the home of Nanda Maharaj. Amazing address, right? He climbed up the mountain across the banks of these two rivers. Then he came to know that these two rivers are coming from Nanda Bhavan. Then he entered Nanda Bhavan and he saw that Nanda Baba and Yashoda are crying, and from by their tears these rivers were formed. So another bewilderment. How can one have such emotions that can form rivers of tears? Which is, city intelligence cannot understand this. Now we also cry, somebody dies, we cry, half an hour, 1 hour, wipe our tears, take bath and go to our work. Even the closest one also cannot cry for few days, you know. Don't have the capacity also to express our tears of sorrow also in this material world. We are so shallow people, even in emotions, although we appear to be emotional, we only are emotional for selfish losses or gain, not for real feelings of sorrow, genuine for somebody. So how does one behave when one's intelligence is bewildered by Yogmaya? You can see Yashoda Mai and Nanda Maharaj, they are also bewildered by us. What is happening to us? Why Sri Krishna has gone away? What wrong we did? Did we chastise him too much in the way of training him? Were we too harsh with him when we were raising him as a baby? Did we offend him while we were trying to train him in good etiquettes? Did we punish him harder than what it was required? Something has gone wrong. That's why we are in this condition today. Why is he not coming? He told he'll come day after tomorrow. Immediately after 2 days he will come. And years and years and years have passed and he is not coming. And some messengers are coming in between. And he is asking the same question. Why is he not coming? Why is he sending you? What is wrong? Is he remembering us? This is all bewildering for them. Hey, does he remember our butter? Yashoda is asking. Who is giving butter to him? Who is feeding him? Is he all right by health? These kind of questions they are asking. This is a symptom of bewilderment of intelligence by Yogmaya, which is entering the door of the intense, most intense love one can have for the Lord. Because when one wants to love the Lord and he has intense feeling for the Lord, the knowledge of the Lord is also a hindrance in developing that intense love, that he is Supreme Lord. But when that knowledge goes away, then that love magnifies in a different direction, in transcendental direction, which will make the coward boys jump on the shoulder of Krishna, which will make the coward boys punish Krishna when Krishna loses, which will make coward boys to make him give round on shoulders for long distance. All these things they would not do if they would know he is Vishnu. They start offering obeisances. Same thing Yashoda Mai did. When he opened the mouth and she saw in the mouth, oh, he is Vishnu, looks like he is Vishnu. So immediately, she is a scolding mood, went away, started offering prayers. And Krishna didn't like it. He closed his mouth, he smiled and she forgot everything. That means, the knowledge that Krishna gave for a while, he stole it again. So he thought, she is going back from me, going away from me. And I don't want that to happen. I want to experience that love from her without any hindrance of this kind of Aishwarya Gyan of myself. So he steals that. And again she goes back into, she again advances towards Krishna in that Vatsalya. And he is very happy, extremely happy. Why he has come to Vrindavan in first place? He has got so many unlimited Vaikunthas which he is enjoying in. So much opulence, so much servants, so much of provisions, so many powers and capacities. But a person who is too famous and too opulent and too powerful and too beautiful, he also needs his own space where he can live without all these things, the aura of all these things. Like a famous cricketer, if he wants to buy stocks in Bombay, can he buy stocks in Bombay? Everybody will run behind him. He can't even choose, he wants to buy blue socks and he will not even see blue or green, not even one pair of socks he can see because everybody is harassing him. So where he'll go and buy socks? He'll go to the country where nobody plays cricket. And then he can go and choose what kind of socks, he can bargain with them and you know. So no one knows him there as what he is. So similarly, Lord wants to come and enjoy in his own space. Of he wants to be himself and he wants to enjoy something which is not there in Vaikuntha. Which is love beyond Vaikuntha, which is there in Vrindavan. That's why he says, I have given up all the opulence of Vaikuntha to come and steal the butter and buttermilk of these gopis. Even from Aishwarya point of view, this buttermilk and butter also belongs to him only. But the love behind butter and buttermilk is the original love from Deepajvasis. He wants to enjoy that. He wants to relish that. He wants to immerse himself in that. That's why he sacrifices even his position of being the Supreme Lord. And he comes to Vrindavan Dham. And for that experience of himself, he has to engage Yogmaya into bewildering the devotees of their Aishwarya Gan. Otherwise, his very purpose of coming to Brajbhumi is getting smashed there only. That is the intricacy of Vrindavan Dham. Then you see gopis. Okay, let me complete about Nanda Maharaj Yashoda. So Nanda Maharaj Yashoda, when he saw, he got completely bewildered. Second defeat. He gave some letter and they read that letter and they were absolutely talking in such words and such. He was like unable to understand, what kind of love is this? I thought I loved Krishna. I loved him so much. I'm so close to him. I'm with him every moment, not a single moment I'm separate from him. And whatever moment I'm separate from him, I'm immersed in his thoughts. I eat with him, I dine with him. I thought I loved Krishna. But I don't have this love that they have while being so far away from him, crying in separation. They have him more than I have him. Their love for Krishna is millions of times more than what I have in my heart right now. I'll give you another story of Nanda Baba's love. In short, of course, a long story, but the painful most moment of Nanda Maharaj's life was when he heard Krishna asking Vasudeva and Devaki, so mother and father, what is your desire? I didn't serve you. Whatever you say, I will do. And Vasudeva and Devaki said, stay here only. Yes, my dear mother and father, I will stay here and do whatever you tell me. It's such a simple discussion, like thunderbolt to the heart of Nanda Maharaj. That means I have to go without Krishna. He almost collapsed over there with the thought that I have to go without Krishna. That means Krishna will not come back. That means how many years, we don't know. Gurukul and so many other formalities are remaining. That's what Devaki mentioned. That means so many years will be there. How will we live without him? But he came and met Nanda Maharaj and told, as soon as I fulfill my duties to my parents, I will come back. And he started moving. He halted at one place. Because he could not move further. His legs were very heavy. He just couldn't move. He didn't have the courage to face Yashoda Devi. Finally reached. It's a long story, but Yashoda Devi was like anticipating. They will come running. Mommy, give me butter. Where are you? I'm very hungry. But then she didn't hear that. She heard him coming. So she from distance only asked, so where are Krishna Balaram? No response. Didn't you hear? I'm asking you, where are Krishna Balaram? Where are our loving children? No response. Then he came close to her. He sat down and she was asking, didn't you hear my question? They didn't come. And she started laughing. Oh, don't joke with me. I'm anyway, 2 days have passed. I'm not slept enough in the night, in the memory. Don't please joke with me like this. This is a very harsh joke. Please tell me where they are. He said, they didn't come back. And then she actually realized that they have not come back. And she started using bad words for. Of course, there's a progressive development of variety of emotions. I'm coming straight to the final one. Shashi denied, she didn't believe. Then she started believing. As soon as I started believing, she started questioning, how did you come back? How can you come back like this? And this started going on and on. In Rupa Goswami explains in Nectar of Devotion that there is something called as love in anger. It goes on intensifying. And finally she said, you don't have any love for Krishna Balaram. Look at Dasharath Maharaj. He died in separation from Lord Ram. He couldn't bear the separation. He left his body. He gave up his body. You don't have an iota of love with Dasharath Maharaj had. And the climax was further than that. He said, you should have died there only, instead of coming from this without him. I would have appreciated that you left your body. And you see Nanda Maharaja's personality. He is very coolly, deep in grief, tolerating all the statements which are so painful actually to hear about himself only. And very patiently he let her ventilate all her emotions, whatever she, and finally she collapsed with this height of emotions. Then she was revived. And then Nanda Maharaj began speaking. And Nanda Maharaj said, Yashoda, I could have also died. It was not so difficult. I felt like dying on the spot when I heard he is not coming back. But Yashoda, he told me in the end of conversation with his real mother and father, Devaki and Vasudev, that he will come back. And when he will come back, and if he will not see me, then what will he go through? So Yashoda, it is very easy to die, and we would die also, but we both need to be alive in whatever condition of life. That is our service to Krishna. This is the love of Nanda Maharaj. And Uddhava was getting bewildered with this kind of situation which they are in. And then he met gopis. And what is the sign of this bewildered intelligence, which is spiritual intelligence bewildered by yogmaya? It is not logical to prepare every single day for the hope of Krishna's arrival. Is it not true? And one day, 2 days, 1 week, 15 days, it's all right. No. Every day your enthusiasm will go on decreasing and waning. But they did this for almost 112 years, every single day, which from any external point of view appears too foolish actually. Too foolish, too illogical, and to the extent that we will feel that they are mad people actually. They have gone mad. They need psychiatric assistance. Because someone is not going to come. Like for example, someone's husband died, of course. We see these cases in the hospital. And the wife becomes totally mad actually because of separation. In that illusion, she thinks that he is going to come back. One day he'll come back. I'll get a message and I'll have to go on to receive him in the airport. And I will one day have him. She's in that illusory world, hoping against hope that he will come. So what a psychiatrist does? He just tries to counsel. No, he's not going to come. You have to accept the truth. Come out of denial. Come in acceptance. This is how they deal with the situation. So from this understanding, from external worldly understanding, they were mad actually. And there was not one mad person. There were millions of mad people living in the Vrindavan Dham. They were all appearing to be crazy, doing crazy activities. Every day preparing huge heaps of materials, food materials, and dressing themselves. Every day hoping that today evening he will come. It's overdue. He said only 2 days, but it's overdue like anything. Maybe today he will come. And in the middle of the night he will not come still. Then they will break all the garlands, break all the jewelry, break all the food, crush the food and destroy it and keep beating their chest and lie on the ground a whole night. Again when the sun rises in the morning, they will start preparing for the next day. What kind of life is this? Their knowledge of sanity is totally stolen by Krishna. And in that platform, Krishna is offering themselves in the heart, in the bhava expansion. And that is the result of that experience, what they are going through. So, this is called Premamayi Buddhi. When that Aishwaryamayi Buddhi, Aishwarya is given up or taken away by the Lord's mercy, by the power of Yogamaya, by the assistance of Yogamaya, this Premamayi Buddhi develops. And then such activities come. Even gopis decided to stay alive for the same reason, because they also heard the message he is going to come. They said that there is a bolt, our animal, or the animal of our soul is in this house of separation, which is on fire of separation. And animal should get out immediately. But animal is not getting out because there is a bolt. The bolt says that he will come. His promise is a bolt. So we are bolted by the promise that he will come. And that's why we have no choice but to keep burning in the house of separation. That is our situation. But the decision is firm that we will live. Even our life is as good as death, as good as fully destruction is there. But still, we'll keep our soul in this dying body, or a burning body, or getting destroyed body. That determination is the sign of premamai buddhi. When the intelligence is fully saturated with love, then such kind of decisions and activity are done by the Brajvasis. Then we see Lota Baba, who is sitting in the end of Govardhan. That day was his turn of sponsoring the feast from his house. And he saw Krishna going with Akrura. He said, "Where are you going? Today is my turn. My food is coming from home." He said, "I'll come day after tomorrow. And that day we will enjoy your feast." He said, "I will sit here only. I will not eat. I will not sleep. I will not drink. I will not do any single thing but sit here and wait for you." He said, "Okay, don't worry. I will come." And Krishna didn't come only. 112 years. Then he came after 112 years. We sat there all those years. Logically, you get up and go after some time. And then serve him whenever he comes. But he didn't do. Sridhama also did the same thing. Lord Krishna met Sridhama at Bhandirvat. There's another Bansivat there, where Krishna played flute and called gopis to dance. So near Bhandirvat, Sridhama, the elder brother of Radharani, the topmost of all gopas in Samavayaska Gopa group, most dear by the blessings of Narad Muni, was blessed by Narad Muni that he will become the most dear, equally aged Samavayaska Gopa. And he was in so much tears, rivers of tears are flowing. He said, "Krishna, you are going." He said, "Don't worry, Sridhama, I'll come back." And he also stood there only. So everything appears so illogical from our city intelligent point of view. But this is all very logical and very normal, because everybody was in the same mood in Vrindavan Dham. Now, Uddhav understood that this is a very different thing. All his plans immediately cancelled there only. Because he understood that this is like if you have typhoid and you give some vitamins, then how do you cure typhoid? Immediately you come to know, okay, I came with some nutritional supplements, but something else is required here. So he immediately dropped his plan of treatment. And now he is wondering, okay, I have come on a mission. I have delivered letters to Nanda Baba and I have delivered letters to gopis, and gopis also, the way they behaved him with him and Uddhav Kyari. You know, in the session, he is just sitting on the Vyasasan, because he has come from Mathura. He has come from Krishna's side. So they give all respect to him with great honor. And then the gopis started speaking. Some were remembering him, some were cursing him, some were using bad words, some were glorifying him, some were dancing, some were crying, some were laughing. All kinds of emotions they were doing, as if they were completely mad girls actually. But because of this initial experiences, he understood they are not mad actually. They have something which is exponential, unbelievable, illogical in them, which I don't have an understanding of. So he was trying to understand, what is all this thing? And he was like completely overwhelmed. And then he understood that how to pacify these ladies now. But he saw with his now becoming bewildered intelligence from Aishwarya to Prem, he's getting the education now. He's getting inducted into that. He understood that what would be the best way to pacify these ladies. I must find out with my given intelligence. And he saw that when they talk about Krishna, they become happy. Even in their intense, painful condition, which is unbearable to even see the way they are lamenting. But when they talk about Krishna and his pastimes, Because they were describing to him, this is where we did this, this is where we did with this place, that place we had this. Oh, Uddhav, you are telling us to learn yoga. But we have met the Parabrahma which you are talking about, which you are asking us to meditate on. We have played with him. We danced with him. We went in forest with him, in seclusion, in togetherness, in kunja and nikunjas. How can we meditate on him? We have played with him. What you are talking about, that personality? So there is no question of meditating on Parabrahma. The Parabrahma was with us. So he understood that the only way to pacify them is to make them keep speaking about Krishna. So he said, they said, okay, we'll take you to the places where whatever we did with him. And there was an Adbhut Braj Yatra, which never took place again. What happens usually? There is one Dham Darshak. And there are many Yatris. Right? One Dham Darshak will take you to one place and many places, and he will describe the glory of that place and pastimes of that place, the message of that place, and he'll take you to the next place. So essentially there is one Dham Darshak and many Shrotas. It can be 764, it can be 894, it can be 1000 as per the Yatra management. But essentially one speaker is there. But this was the Adbhut Yatra, that there were millions of Dham Darshaks and one Yatri was there. One Yatri was Uddhav, who was listening, and everybody had to say so many things about one place, what they did. Because everybody had her own angle of that particular Leela which took place. And it was different than the previous one. So he had to hear everybody. And it went on for 6 months. The whole Braj Uddhav did yatra with gopis. And everywhere gopis told what we did with him here. And he saw that they were becoming happy and somehow they were getting pacified, for which I have come here. So he didn't speak a word. And they kept on speaking and speaking. Sometimes they enacted dramas. Sometimes they emoted whatever happened. They actually went through the whole experience again through the memory of the Lord. Again, a lesson for us that we may be in too much of misery, but if we go through the experience of memory of the Lord, then our miseries are gone away. So they were in the misery, the condition of misery did not change. But when they were in absorption of the memory of the Lord by the way of describing the pastimes with him in a particular place, they appeared very jubilant. And he wanted them to continue in the place of, in the situation of jubilance. So he went on traveling. And at the end of 6 months, he came to conclusion, I have no love to Krishna, for Krishna. With all the Aishwarya Buddhi, he thought that he has good amount of love for Krishna. He loves Krishna, he knew that. But after this 6 months tour of Vrindavan, he came to conclusion that he has no love for Krishna. Sign of Premamayi Buddhi. He was sent for a couple of days to Vrindavan. But he extended without permission for 6 months. He was just soaking to understand what is all this about. How do I understand this? This kind of things are not there in Mathura. We don't experience these things. We don't feel these things. This is something unusual. What Krishna has done to them here. What he has given them here, which we don't have in Mathura. All kinds of thoughts were getting clogged in his heart, in his brain. And with that feeling, he came to a conclusion. What is the result? Now, result is very important. With all this education in the University of Advanced Love, what is the conclusion? What is the certificate? The certificate is, he decided to become a blade of grass in Vrindavan. This is the conclusion of the certificate of University of Advanced Love. The second personality who wanted to demote himself from the highest position of closeness with Krishna to, I will explain to you. All the gopis were telling, you are so fortunate. You are with Krishna. We are not with Krishna. You are eating with him. We are away from him. We are hankering for him. You are always dining with him, always moving around with him. You are so fortunate, O Uddhav. And he was understanding with this Premamayi Buddhi how unfortunate I am. That I feel I have Krishna, but the way they have Krishna, I don't have. The way they love Krishna, I don't have an iota of that love. So what they are saying, exactly opposite is feeling. Just see. They are making one statement, exactly opposite inference is there in the heart of Uddhav. And this culminated in saturation, this kind of thoughts, which made him feel that I want to and I must take the dust of the lotus feet of all these gopis. And that too, I do not want to embarrass them. See the humility that Uddhav developed. Because if I ask them, I want your dust, they will be so embarrassed because you are Uddhav. You are so close to Krishna. You are so fortunate. You are such a respected personality. You are a disciple of Brihaspati. Such an honorable personality. Such a highly positioned personality. How can we give our dust to you? So even that feeling he didn't want to give them. He said, I will take the dust for sure. But I can understand that the way of achieving the dust of these gopis' lotus feet is to become blade of grass in Vrindavan. Because I saw when I was doing yatra with them, they had no difficulty, no embarrassment, no sankoch on walking over the blade of grass. They were the ultimate epitome of humility, but they were walking on the blades of grass very freely. So that is the very simple position. Without embarrassment, I can take that dust which I need to develop that trace of that unlimited ocean of love. Prem Rasa Sagar, one iota droplet of that, not one drop also, one drop also some position, one speck of that drop of that ocean I want to achieve. He went to Krishna, gave all the report, and he came back to Vrindavan. That means what? What is the result of this yatra? That he gave up his closest position to Krishna and came back to Vrindavan far from Krishna. For which the gopis are hankering to go close to Krishna, he left the position of being close to Krishna to be far from Krishna. But in that far being far from Krishna, he wanted to be closest to Krishna, the way the gopis were. And he performed tapasya at Uddhav Kund. There's a place just behind Kusum Sarovar where Uddhavji performed tapasya, austerities, very severe penances to achieve the birth of a blade of grass. And by the way, if you meditate on these blades of grass, and you want to make a garden in front of your house, there are many kinds of grass available. Variety of grasses available. Some are soft, some are harsh, some are big color, some are small size, some are very fine, some are very, very soft and softest of all. And we choose the, and then we cultivate the grass. But Gulmalata is kind of grass which is also very insignificant in compared to all the other grasses. And he also wanted to become the lowest in the grass also. So he performed tapasya to become Gulmalata, which is there near Kusum Sarovar, you can find when you go there. All the tapasya he did, and he achieved the birth as Gulmalata at the banks of Kusum Sarovar. And there he received the dust of gopis on his forehead. So one will say he is foolish actually. He has demoted himself. But in that position, he never left Kusum Sarovar. Even today, Uddhavji is residing. One of those Chiranjeevi souls like Ashwatthama and Hanumanji, who are always in this world, living this world. And he is living at the banks of Kusum Sarovar. Very, very wonderful place where he is exhibiting now, in that time, that then developed Premamai Buddhi. And consistently he is now not interested in developing Aishwarya Buddhi again. And he is trying to maintain his Prema Buddhi constantly. He will like to remain under the influence of Yogmaya in Vrindavan so that he can develop that love. He may forget everything about Aishwarya of the Lord, but he wants that love. So this Aishwarya also is a temptation to know, have knowledge. We could be very proud of knowledge also. But that is a step. When you give up that, then the realm of love begins. And for that, such kind of intelligence is required. Divine intelligence means one gives up his own plan and works for Krishna's satisfaction even at the cost of suffering. Not only when there is happiness and we go according to Krishna's plan. I give up my plan, I go with Krishna's plan. It's so much happy condition. But in most of the times when you do that, there's a lot of pain which comes as a test. Making you, helping you to go deeper in the realm of love, in the realm of realization, in the realm of intense feeling for Krishna. And look at the benefit of that Prema Buddhi that he had and he cultivated. He wanted to go with Krishna actually. What we read in 11th canto. He's meeting Krishna. Krishna, I can see that you are going. I can see that you are doing his final, your final pastimes. I want to go with you, my Lord. I cannot stay here. But Krishna told him this wonderful Uddhav Gita. And he stayed back. He stayed back at banks of Kusum Sarovar. And he did most crucial service to Krishna because of that desire that he surrendered to of Krishna. What was Krishna's desire? Krishna knew that his wives will become very, very morose. They will become extremely painful condition of separation from the Lord. And they will cry like anything and nobody will be able to contain their love. Nobody will be able to pacify them. But they were such exalted ladies. They were wives of Krishna. They were queens. You need to have a person higher than the queens to counsel the queens and to pacify them. So he knew. So he already instructed before going to leaving this world. He instructed Parikshit Maharaj and Vajranabh. Parikshit Maharaj, the administrative head of the world, and Vajranabh as the king of Braj. He told them, please take my wives to Vrindavan. So they took their wives to Krishna's, grieving, crying wives to Vrindavan. They met Yamuna. Yamuna also happens to be co-wife, but she was very jubilant and happy. So they were wondering, how you are our co-wife and you are not having any sorrow? So she said, I am the only Brajbasini wife of Krishna. And our understanding is totally different. By the mercy of Radharani, whether we are with Krishna or not with Krishna, we are still with Krishna all the time, always blissful, internally, externally. If you don't understand the secret, please go to Kusum Sarovar. There Uddhavji will explain to you the secret of how these contradictory things exist simultaneously in Vrindavan Dham. So they were taken to Kusum Sarovar. There the queens of Krishna were told that if you do Sankirtan of the holy names of the Lord, Uddhavji will appear in the form of human being from the form of Gulmalata. So imagine the queens of Krishna performing Sankirtan of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. When 16,108 wives of Krishna performed such beautiful, loving, melodious, filled with intense love, such kind of kirtan they performed, Uddhavji appeared. And all the queens were taken by Uddhav to the banks of Kusum Sarovar. And Uddhavji narrated them Srimad Bhagavatam for 30 days. And the first verse only when he spoke, all the miseries of separation of the queens of Krishna mitigated, vanquished totally. What is the meaning behind it? The Srimad Bhagavatam is Sri Krishna himself. The sound of Srimad Bhagavatam is direct association with Sri Krishna himself. They were crying because Sri Krishna's Sannidhya association was not there. And as soon as they heard the sound of Bhagavatam, they felt that they were with Krishna. So they immediately were pacified. And they didn't have any time limit like Parikshit Maharaj, 7 days. So Uddhavji took all the time in the world to beautifully explain the Srimad Bhagavatam over 30 days. And you can imagine Uddhava being Kathakar, narrating his experiences. He's already been in Vrindavan. He has experienced the ultimate level of love experienced that gopis had. He has witnessed by his own eyes. And he knew all scriptures. He is anyway disciple of Brahaspati. So everything that was required, he had. And he was the right Kathavyas that time. And he gave continuous experience of presence of Krishna to all the queens of Krishna. 10th canto, he made them see themselves interacting with Krishna. And by the time 12th canto ended, they merged in the form of their own divine forms, which they saw in the Katha. Because the Katha was not like audio. It was audio-visual. They were seeing everything, what was being narrated. Because who was narrating? Uddhavji was narrating. Such love, such realization, such intense feelings. So he made them actually go through the whole lifetime of Krishna, whole charitra of Krishna, which was described in 89 chapters. And at the end of 12th canto of Bhagavatam, they merged in the original forms and went back to Godhead. So he did great service. Because he had the opportunity to develop Prema Buddhi, giving up Aishwarya Buddhi, he could do a great service to Krishna. Very, very crucial, because Krishna had to make everybody leave his Yadav, So Sena, his family, Brajvasis, because Brajvasis he had taken before only. In the name of killing Dantavakra, he had come to Mathura. He killed Dantavakra and he immediately went to Vrindavan. That time the gopis were at the summit of their separation. They would be dying very soon. That time he met everybody and took en masse everybody back to Godhead. Went to Dwarka. Then Yadav Sena was, they disappeared. Then Krishna disappeared. Then what was remaining was the queens. And Uddhavji could do that great service, crucial service. So, Uddhav desired to go back with Krishna. But he stayed back. And he helped to deliver Krishna's wives. So we began from speaking with intelligence, our discussion. What we need is this intelligence. Sometimes in our professional language we say this as emotional intelligence, in our EQ. But it's a very narrow and limited concept that we have in our professional world. This is real emotional intelligence. To dovetail worldly knowledge, knowledge of scriptures, knowledge of reality, the truth that is Supreme Lord, about everything the Lord has, and to dovetail love in that, not allowing the Aishwarya of knowledge to disturb the love also, keeping everybody in the same place, everything in this own place, and at the same time keeping love at the highest summit, and conduct life accordingly. This is very high level. And all the Brajvasis are very naturally living on that platform. There is no effort for them. There is no tapasya for them to come to this stage. This is very natural. That is why they are in Braj. That is why they are in Vrindavan. And on this auspicious day, one of the days, today is a day of Kartik. Today is Ekadashi. Very auspicious day. Most powerful day also, which gives us Kartik benefits in hundreds of times and Ekadashi benefits also hundreds of times of that. We should pray to the Lord to give us, we should beg to the Lord to give us this intelligence which will not make us proud but which will give us love for the Lord and which will give us a possibility of acting according to that love without contaminating it with knowledge. Knowledge is required, but not necessarily, not unnecessary knowledge, which will hinder our loving predisposition to the Lord. We should pray, because these things are not achievable by any sadhana or any process. These things are achievable only by kripa, only by mercy. And we all are beggars of mercy. And we should beg for that. And if only Radharani and Gopinath ji, they are convinced one fine day and they understand our sentiment, they may bestow upon us that love. And that love is ultimate perfection of life for which we all are here. Otherwise, there is no other, any worthy purpose for which we are here. We may think there are so many things to do, but they are not relevant to the purpose for which Krishna has sent us here as human beings. Krishna has sent us over here to give us an opportunity to develop love for Him and serve Him in that loving sentiment with that emotional intelligence that we have to deal with that our life on the platform of that love, unalloyed, uninterrupted love. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Anybody has any comments or questions? Yes. Hari Bol. Yes, give me. I'll transfer.
Hare Krishna, Vishwara Prabhu, thank you for a very beautiful and very heart-touching lecture about this buddhi. You know, what to speak of prema buddhi, even aishwarya buddhi we don't have. We are trying to somehow develop, some mood of serving the Lord. But the overwhelming power of maya is so strong that it's a daily struggle to somehow come back to Krishna consciousness. You know, in Kali Yuga, it's a very strong influence, and we allow also to some extent because of our own personal conditioning and weaknesses. So, while when we hear such beautiful lectures, it transports us to that platform, but then quickly our consciousness comes back to the low level that it is. So, how can we aspire? What is the aspiration we should have? That we can somehow come to this level, maybe not this lifetime, maybe in some lifetime, but how do we develop that aspiration and how do we sustain it?
The one word answer to this is Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chittete Kori Aikya. If we, our condition is very hopeless condition actually, compared to what we discussed today. But in this hopeless condition also there is a hope. That our Guru's instruction, if we take it to our heart and make it the only goal of our life, then all this is possible. We should not think that what has been told to us in variety of classes by Acharyas, Vishwanath Chakra Thakur and other Rupa Goswami and Prabhupada are all impractical, frustrating situations that, we are just told but we will never get it. We are describing a fruit to you but which you will never get it. It's not a kind of, mental jargon to frustrate people and make them slaves. But all these things what our Acharya has spoken, they are all possible. And they all have achieved this. Narad Muni also tells very clearly, I served the Bhakti Vedantas. That's why today I am Narad Muni. I was Dasi Putra and today I am Narad Muni. So time and again, so many acharyas have explained the secret. The secret is association of sincere souls and following their instructions. Amongst them, Sri Gurudev is the highest of all. And you may ask me further question that I am doing that, trying to do that, but still I feel hopeless. The answer is just keep doing it. Keep doing it, keep doing it, and keep doing it. Without deviation, without getting disturbed, without getting discouraged, just keep doing it. The only hope for us is that I try myself 100% to continue to do so. And my 100% may be very insignificant and puny. Nobody will notice also that much my 100% is so insignificant. Doesn't matter. If it is 100% of mine, Krishna will look at it because he is very merciful. He is very merciful. Even a child is trying to attempt to put the cloth on a hanger. When you see a child attempting, impossible to reach that hanger, but you will lift the child and let him put on the hanger, right? So the higher powers, the Sri Krishna's mercy, is one good thing is there about the mercy of the Lord is that it doesn't differentiate between insignificant and significant. Indra and Indra Gopa. Wherever there is 100% offering, Sri Krishna's mercy reaches there. And much more than that is Radharani's mercy. So we pray to her. Keep begging constantly, sincerely. Then we don't say this lifetime only, next lifetime. Whenever we are yours, my Lord. Mat prana nathastu sa eva naparaha. I am yours, my Lord. You do whatever you want with me. Take me, don't take me. But I will keep myself there only where I want to keep myself. Hare Krishna. Any other question is there? Shri Uddhavji Maharaj ki, Shri Vrindavan Dham ki, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Journey of Self-Discovery course in our temple is going to be held between 16 to 18 November and 23rd to 25th November. 7 to 9. And speaker is His Grace Shivaram Prabhu. For the further details, please see the notice board below. Hare Krishna.